is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city, and he stood him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. But it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these will I give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. This is the word of the Lord.
I want to share this topic. I'm sure all of you have are very familiar with this passage. But I hope that this morning we can have new insight from this very familiar passage. I've been preaching for many years now, but probably not as long as Pastor Choi there. But every time before I got up to the stage, and I still have butterfly, and still nervous, still feel tense. The night before, I still stay late, get up early in the morning, and prepare, read over and over again, because it is a very serious matter to preach the Word of God. So each sermon, I treat it as maybe my last sermon. Each sermon is just as important, whether I'm preaching to 50 people or 500 people. So the passage that we are going to look at this morning may be a very familiar passage to you, but God can speak to you in a new way this morning, just like he did to me the last couple of weeks when I'm preparing this. Each sermon I preach to myself first. That's what we were taught in school. You need to preach the sermon to yourself. If you're not preaching the sermon to yourself, then your audience won't feel the power in your message. And where is your wilderness? Today we're going to talk about temptations. And I tried to look up some cartoons and found quite a few on temptation. And of course, ice cream. I can resist everything except temptation. I don't know about you, but to me, chocolate and ice cream is a big temptation to me. So when I was still working as an engineer, and each year in the building, the building management will provide free all-you-can-eat ice cream for an hour. And these are good Häagen-Dazs. Is that how you call it? Häagen-Dazs ice cream, all-you-can-eat. And I have to say that I always failed to the temptation. I always took two. Instead of one, my restaurant is I should eat no more than one a year. I mean, those are really bad for you. But I always took two. And then they have that twice a year, so I have at least four. Ice cream could be a quick temptation to some of us. And others may be temptation that we just curious, want to know what that button is, especially when it says, "Do not push that button." Though there is a temptation. What is that button to you? I don't know. But it would be something that God doesn't want you to try. And then on this cartoon under it, it says, "Do you really want to spend the rest of your life wondering what that button is. Oh, that is tempting, isn't it? We always want to find out what that button is. When God wants to use us, he put us through tests, trials, training, discipline. And we gain strength by winning over the temptations. When Jesus was first set off to his ministry, in chapter 3 of the Gospel of Matthew, we just read, if you go back and read chapter 3, and that's just when Jesus was baptized. The Holy Spirit came from heaven, and there's a voice from the Heavenly Father saying that this is my beloved Son. So there was the climax of revelation, that at that moment we see the Trinity, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Heavenly Father. They all appear at the same time. So we could call that as the climax of God's revelation, or at least one of the highlights of the God's revelation, where all three appear at the same time. And that is also the climax of Jesus' life, should be. And as he was preparing to go into ministry, so from this climax, the Holy Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness. Wilderness is not exactly your Hawaii or the place you want to go for a resort, where you want to go for your vacation. A wilderness is desolation. It's a place where there is probably no food, no vegetation, no life. It's a place that Jesus is alone. God very often, I would not say often, God always tests us, put us through the wilderness before he would use us for greater things. And when I look back my 40 years of serving ministries, I can count each step, how God led me step by step. I actually finished Bible school, seminary training in the 80s. I finished my 2 master degrees when I was doing engineering, like Pastor Bill. I was in engineering for 35 years, close to 4. And I finished my study while I was studying engineering. But God did not use me full time. God has other plans for me. When I look back, I know because God thinks that you are not quite ready yet. Just because you study, you finish your Bible school training, doesn't mean that you're ready. God put me through many, many trials, many wilderness to test me out. God will do the same for you. When God wants to use you for great things, he put you through wilderness of trials, tests. For Jesus, temptations. What is your wilderness? I don't know. But the wilderness is where you will be quiet with God. When God gave Moses the 10 commandments, so he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat bread or drink water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the 10 commandments. It came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because of his speaking with him. When you look at the Bible, the history, God doing the same thing. God tests his servants before he greatly used him. Jesus, after 40 days of fasting, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. This is God's planning, to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, obviously he became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. If you fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, I've never fasted long, but I did when I was in the hospital last year. They did not give me any food for a week. And I can tell you, it's really hungry. So after my surgery, they said that now you can eat. I said, wow, that's great. You know what I can eat? You can eat jello. First thing, you can eat jello. So I said, jello tastes just so great. So then what do I have for lunch? More jellos. I said, what? But different color. So at night, I said that I look forward to my steak dinner. Well, you know they don't get that in the hospital. Right? But at least some solid food. And then guess what the menu is? More jello. This time the same color. And coffee. So I know how it's like to fast even for a few days or without food for a few days. But can you imagine after 40 days, that temptation of turning the stone into bread is so great, isn't it? It's under these circumstances Jesus was tempted and tested by the devil. If you are the Son of God, take note of what the tempter said. If you are the Son of God, the devil in this situation, at least from the recording of the gospel, he did not appear as a very scary character, as a demon. Just from reading, he may appear as a very friendly person. We don't know. I'm just guessing. It's probably not a devil that's flying in black, you know, with wings and scary looking. It probably just an ordinary person. Very often, our temptations came from very ordinary thing, very ordinary people speaking to us, tempting us to do things that we should not do. This is the most vulnerable moment of Jesus after fasting for 40 days. If you are the Son of God, turn this into stone into bread. You know that Jesus has done that before. He can turn water into wine. And he has this power. We know that. And I think he has the legitimacy to do that as well. I mean, after 40 days, I mean, it's time for going back to your normal diet. But the devil is testing him here. So what did Jesus respond? The devil was actually very clever. He's actually quoting from the scripture. So it appears that this is a very legitimate request and a legitimate thing for Jesus to do, even though it's out of context. And Jesus replied also from the scripture. Oh, I'm going to skip that. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's not that Jesus did not have the power, does not have the power to turn the rocks into bread. He'd done that before, turning water into wine. But the devil is obviously here trying to test him. This is not God's will at this time to turn that into food. And then Jesus used the scripture, right from the scripture again, that we live not only by food alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The very first temptation the devil trying to pose to Jesus is material things, physical needs. Today we also face physical, material temptations. Maybe it's not the ice cream. Maybe you don't have a problem. I know that some people doesn't like ice cream. I don't know why, but I could not ever understand. Or chocolate, but some people doesn't like chocolate or Häagen-Dazs ice cream, but that's okay. But I would say most people would like love money. Maybe it's the money that you're being tempted. No, I don't love money. Have you been given tithing, giving your 1/10 to God? You're always tempted just to take back a little bit for this week and next week, hold back a little bit. So next week, next year, when I make a little more money, I'm just getting a new job. I have to buy a house. I have a family. Just take back a little bit. Maybe it is the money part that you're being tempted, tested. Maybe it's other things, automobiles, boats, furnitures, house. Maybe it's the time. What do we mean by time? Maybe you should be getting up early on Sunday morning, come to church, but you're tempted to just steal 5 more minutes from God to sleep for 5 more minutes. 5 more minutes is okay, right? Or maybe even 10 minutes is okay. So you end up late in the service. Coming late to the service is actually you are stealing time from God. You're showing disrespect to God. But it is okay, it's only 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But it is a temptation, isn't it, in the morning. I know it is a struggle. I always tell people that I don't have a problem in going to sleep. My problem is always getting out of sleep in the morning. I guess all of us has the problem. And how can we get people to come on time? People keep asking me. So I found this on the internet. Pastor Norman finally discovers a way to encourage promptness at worship. So all the latecomers come and sit on the stage. I'm not going to do that. So, so Simon said that if you do that, then you lose half of your congregation. So I'm not going to do that. But maybe the temptation is trying to steal a few minutes from God, not being here on time. You should not come here at 9:30. You should come here at least 10 minutes earlier to pray. The worship team spend a lot of time in preparing. You miss half of the songs, how would they feel? They're not going to be very happy. They prepare hours and hours, and then you come in at the last song. Paul summarized this. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world. The first temptation we have to face, all of us have to face, are not just the Häagen-Dazs ice cream, material things, physical needs, time, the lust of the flesh. The second thing that the devil trying to tempt Jesus here, the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in the hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Now something is more challenging. We can probably try very hard, give our tithe one-tenth to God. Maybe next week everybody will come here on time. I'll keep praying for that. You can probably try that next week. I just don't buy any more Häagen-Dazs ice cream. No more dark chocolate. No, we can do that. But here the next temptation is more difficult. This is really tempted. It's not about food. It's about your mind, about the lust of the eyes, as Paul said. It's something that if you jump off the top of this temple and you're being saved by the angel, you'll be famous. You immediately become the leader of your people. Right? If today Pastor Norman went downtown and jumped off the Sheraton Hotel and then I was saved, I mean, I would become the greatest pastor or this preacher in this city. Everybody will come and want to hear, isn't it, right? This is a miracle. Even the angel rescued Jesus. So it's very tempted, isn't it? Jesus' purpose to come to this earth for his ministry is to win the kingdom of God, to spread, to expand the kingdom of God. And here, by jumping off the top of the temple, you already have the kingdom. At least it's the people's view of the kingdom. But we know that eventually, Jesus did win the kingdom for us. He brought the kingdom of God to people. But that's according to God's plan. So the devil here used the same word, if you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God. Again, the devil is testing Jesus here. He's also using quoting from the scripture wrongly. But what did Jesus do? The temptations always knock more than once. We always say that the opportunity will knock the door only once, but temptation always seem to come more often. Opportunity may not only once, but temptation. Temptation leans on the doorbell. I like this. Not only knock twice, three times, but temptation will actually lean on your doorbell, just keep ringing. Your bell keep ringing. The devil here tempted Jesus twice, almost with the exact invitation. If you are the Son of God, right? If you are so good in playing guitar, why don't you come up here and play now, right now, while Pastor Norman is preaching? That will draw everybody's attention. If you're so good in this, just do it now. Just show us. Right? You'll be very tempted, isn't it? Right? Because he is the Son of God. But this is not God's plan. It is not God's will for Jesus to start the kingdom on earth. God has his plans. So Jesus said, you shall not put the Lord, your God, to the test. We may not face this kind of temptation, but we do face similar kind of temptation. Like Paul said, the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes is not actually not just the physical, your eyes being strained. It is your mind, your soul. The lust in your mind, in your soul, is the lust of the eyes. The way of immortal thinkings, even as you're sitting here. Do you have grudge against people in your heart? Do you have hatred? This is not as obvious as your physical lust, the physical temptations. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was a delight to the eyes, the first human on earth that God created also faced the same similar temptation that Jesus is facing. The lust of the body. The fruit was good. I'm hungry. The lust of the eyes. That it was a delight to the eyes. Adam and Eve faced the same temptation as Jesus. But from the scripture, we know that Jesus overpowered the temptation. But what happened to Adam and Eve? They failed. Delight to the eyes. It looks so good, the fruit. Be it your filthy thoughts, jealousy, anger, that's in your heart, Jesus overcome all this by the word of God. So today we can also overcome the temptation by the word of God. And the last temptation, the devil basically given up now, trying to test him, test Jesus. It failed. So his last temptation, he's not going to say that, no, if you are Son of God, the devil is not going to say that anymore. He said, how about I do a tray for you. Let's do a tray. The devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things will I give you if you fall down and worship me. The whole world. Jesus came to save the world. And Satan, the devil, said that here, you don't have to go through the persecutions, the sufferings, the dying on the cross. Here's a shortcut. Here's the whole world I gave to you. Isn't that tempting? Right? A lot of people fail. Why you work so hard? You know, here's a shortcut to be rich. Jesus again used the word of God to overcome. This is the overcome the lust of the body, the lust of the eyes, and this is the in 1 John chapter 2:16 says is the pride of life. So 1 John here lists out the three temptations, which is exactly what Jesus was going through and what Adam and Eve was going through. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride boastful pride of life. But Jesus again, using the word of God, and overcome the temptation. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. But we all know that Adam and Eve fail, because they are also facing the same challenge. They are facing the temptation to be as wise as God. If you eat this fruit, it will make you wise. It will give you knowledgeable, just like God. When we look at the Jesus' temptation, we can see that in the history, all humans have gone through the same temptations. From turning bread, physicalness, the fruit, the lust of the flesh, carnal wishes, the delight to the eyes, the lust of the eyes, and earthly power, the kingdom of the world, to be like God, to be pride of yourself. We are all facing this temptation today. And we've seen how people fail in God's history. How people fail, even people around us. And sometimes we fail. But Jesus provides us the way to win over this by the word of God. Jesus did not negotiate, not like Adam and Eve, trying to negotiate with the devil, the evil one. Ask more questions. Jesus did not ask more questions. No, what is part of this deal you're giving me? He did not even ask for a further trade negotiation. He just stopped it there, and this is not right. We think of temptation, bad things, ice creams, the love of money, filthy thoughts, immorality, hatred, jealousy, power. But temptation is not just on bad things. Temptation could be also on good things. That's a very good book that all the pastors of Christian and Mission Alliance have to read. It's a book by Henry Nouwen, In the Name of Jesus. That was a book. The book was written on based on the temptation, based on today's scripture, temptation of Jesus. And the book said that, described that pastor, talking about the temptation of a pastor. Pastors are supposed to be models of the church, but they face, besides all the temptations that we just talked about, the lust of the eyes, the lust of your physical body, the pastors, not just pastors, church leaders, Christians, devout Christians, we also face a different kind of temptation. The temptation, Henry Nouwen listed of three temptations we also could face, not just church leaders. The first temptation is to be relevant. We face the temptation to be relevant. What do you mean, temptation to be relevant? We all want to be something that can, somebody who's influential, someone who changed other people's life, someone who's effective. We can do many things in a very short period of time. Very often we value results over human needs. We value performance, statistics. So we try to be very busy. So that's an interesting, bumper sticker. Jesus is coming, so look busy. We try to look busy. We try to occupy ourselves. We try to make ourselves important. It's only when, Henry Nouwen was a professor, speaker, teacher at Harvard, Yale. He wrote many books, very famous preacher, writer. And until he decided to give up his relevancy in the Christian community. And he went to serve in a, this is the French, La Archie communities. That's in Canada, actually. He served as a home for the handicapped people. So he went there and served them food, probably clean up the place. So he went from a professor at Harvard, Yale, to serve the handicapped people. And he said that no one there reads his books. No one understands who he is. No one understands how he's teaching. So he said, I become so irrelevant. But from that experience, he said that he may be irrelevant to how the society sees, but he is relevant to God's kingdom of work. He can show the authenticity of his love. The next temptation that we church leaders, especially devout Christians or BCBs, the next temptation is we want to be spectacular. We want to be a great leader. We want to be really successful. There's nothing at our career. There's not, absolutely nothing wrong with that. But we have to be careful at the price that we are paying, the reason we are doing. Jesus is spectacular, but in God's way, we could be spectacular in our career, in our work. I work hard when I work as an engineer. I never put in just 40 hours a week. I put in extra hours for my 35 years. I wouldn't say that I'm the last one to leave, but I always put in more than I need to. I work hard. At the church, we serve hard, but we have to be careful that we are not working hard because we want ourselves to be spectacular. Especially as preachers, we have to be careful that we are not preparing our sermons so that it is entertaining to the people who come because it's interesting. We as pastors, preachers, we are not here to entertain the audience. We are here to, I always remind myself, each one of my sermon has to, we have to preach the word of God, and we have to preach Christ. Even though sometimes I preach the sermon twice, but the second time, when I prepared for my second time, I spent just as much time as I prepared the first time. I spent just as many time trying to refine that 5% of my last sermon so that I can improve the 5%. So Luan here reminds us the temptation to be spectacular with our career profession if it is not in the will of God. Jesus' temptation, number one, and number two, if you read it carefully, Jesus did not yield the temptation because it is not the will of God. It's not because he cannot turn the stone into bread. It's not because he doesn't believe the angels will catch him. It's because it is not the will of God. The third temptation for some of us, these are good things. The temptation to be powerful, influential. This is a great temptation for all of us to be influential to other people. So the temptations come in different forms, not only come as chocolate ice cream, the lust of our body, but it could be good things. So be careful. It is these good things that sometimes we fell into it, we yield to it without knowing. We want to be who doesn't want to be a famous big name pastor? But we have to be careful. If it is not God's will, if we are compromising speaking God's word, delivering message just to entertain people, to defend ourselves, to resist the temptation, the very first thing Jesus told us is to do not negotiate with the devil. Resist the devil. Stay away from it. A fish will not be caught if it doesn't open its mouth, isn't it? I just found this last night. Even a fish will not get caught if it did not open its mouth. Very often we open our mouth, that's how we get caught. And then there's one more saying down there. Watch your tongue. But that wasn't my sermon today. That was a bonus. If you keep it close, then you will not worry about biting your tongue. Second thing we learn from this passage is to overcome, resist temptation is not just to study the Word of God, not just to get some more degrees, But live out the word of God. That's what we need. Not just to analyze, to study the Greek, Hebrew more, that is important. But all this study is to help us to be able to live out the word of God. That is how we can resist the temptation. That's how Jesus showed us. Every time the devil tempted him, he used God's word to defend. Follow God's will. Even good things could be devil's temptation. You want to be successful, but it's at the expense of your looking after your family, your aging parents, coming to church, serving a church. Serving hard at the church, of course, the pastor wants you to serve hard, but is it at the expense of your personal spiritual life that you serve so hard that you don't have time to even to pray? That you serve so much that you even become angry with people serving next to you? Work hard, serve hard, but in God's will. In closing, I find some very inspiring saying from C.S. Lewis, one of C.S. Lewis' book. Only those who try to resist temptation know how strong it is. But only when you try not to eat that Haagen-Dazs ice cream, you know how hard it is. If you don't like it, then you have no problem. Only those who try to resist temptation know how strong it is. You find out the strength of a wind by trying to walk against it, not by lying down, yielding to it. We never find out the strength of the evil impulse inside us until we try to fight it. If today you feel that I don't have any problem, Pastor Norman, I don't have any temptation, I'm just doing fine, maybe it's because you have already yielded to many of these temptations, not just the bad ones, maybe also the quote-unquote good ones. Maybe you already given up. Maybe you already, I don't have any problem. What do you mean getting up early to worship a problem? I don't have any problem. I already get used to coming to the worship 15 minutes late. I mean, it's already part of my routine. It seems to be okay. Maybe you're already comfortable with it. Then it is not hard. But if next week you try to come here 5 minutes early, I can tell you it's going to be very hard. I guarantee you that. If you try to come here 10 minutes earlier next week, why then 10 minutes late, it'll be very, very difficult because you're trying to fight it. Some of the temptation maybe is already inside you. Maybe you already yielded to it. You don't feel the strength of the wind anymore because you already yielded to it. You don't feel the strength of this temptation anymore because we've been eating ice cream every day. Not according to what the doctor has been telling you. But when you try to reverse that, I don't know what it is. I don't know what your wilderness is. That's the topic. That's the question that I asked in the beginning. Where is your wilderness? I don't know that. Maybe it's getting up early on time. You would not be late at the airport and miss your flight to Hawaii. But why are you coming late every morning and do not feel a problem? It's a disrespect to God, isn't it? You're meeting God has been waiting here that morning. You're late. The worship team is waiting for you, and you're late. Maybe it's that tithing. I don't have any problem tithing. I never tithe anyway, so I don't have any problem. But when you try to give what God deserves, I can tell you it's very hard. It's hard. Maybe you already have this immoral thinking for years. But it seems to be okay because you have not tried to reverse this. You are the evil to the temptation. But when you try to fight against it, it is hard. So it's definitely hard to reverse, to win back the battle with the temptation. So only those who try to resist temptation know how strong it is. I don't know what it is that you have yielded. Maybe for some it's laziness. For some maybe it's workaholic could be the two extremes. You find the strength of a wind by trying to walk against it, not by yielding to it. We never find out the strength of the evil impulse inside us until we try to fight it. And I hope that this morning, all of us, I don't know where is your wilderness. I don't know in what, I keep saying, being laid to the worship, but I think there are bigger things, other things that you have yielded. And I hope that you can find out this where you are in this wilderness. Let's all pray together.